Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
But what I'm finding is that the more people I talk to across the nation, friends, I got off the phone with Apostle Dan Dyer this afternoon, and I said, Apostle, I said, have you received your word from God yet concerning this new year? And he said, yes. And he said, it's discipleship, evangelism and discipleship. And this has been something that's been stirring in me for the last 3 months. I've been bouncing some thoughts off of my pastor, and he really believes in some of the things that the Lord has been sharing with me. So I'm excited about making an impartation tonight. You know, how many realize that it's time for the church? And I don't mean, this is not everybody, you know, not everybody's in the same category, but it's time for the church to start being the church. Amen. You know, you and I are loaded to the gills with potential. I mean, we're born again, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we're washed in the blood, we're robed in righteousness, we've been given a crown of glory, we have a mansion in heaven, and we have the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, the divine nature of God. We have all these wonderful attributes, a covenant that is second to none, and we need to share it. Now, granted, I understand that the world is not really excited about Jesus because they don't really understand the concept of the covenant. Uh-huh. If they understood the concept of the covenant, they would ask us.
All right.
Amen. I was at Dunkin' Donuts this afternoon, and I hand out tracks wherever I go, little tracks, and on the front of the track it says, Jesus loves you, and on the back of the track there is a plan of salvation, and I go through the drive-thru, and with my money I hand this track to the manager, and I just looked at her, and I said, God has got you on his mind today. And she just didn't look too thrilled about it, you know. And I had to just remind her before I left. I said, look, I said, for real. I said, God is thinking about you today. And I'm hoping that that's a strong enough seed planted in her soil.
Come on.
Amen. I'm hoping that I'll have the opportunity to water that because I know that God will bring the increase in her life. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
So let's look at some things tonight. I want to start in the book of Genesis. And I just want to give you some numerical revelation, if I possibly can. 20 is the biblical number that means redemption. And 19 is the biblical number that means faith.
All right.
Now, how many realize they walk hand in hand?
Right.
And it takes as much faith as we possibly can be influenced by to walk in the full measure of how we have been redeemed. So in this text of Scripture, God begins to put some things in perspective. Verse 14 says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth, and it was so. So as far as the Lord is concerned, God divides time into days and years. He also said that this time division was to be a season of periods of time when certain things happened or they didn't happen. I got a feeling that when God begins to align things like he is, he's up to something.
All right.
And folks, I will tell you, I heard Pastor Steve say something on Sunday that really resonated in my spirit. He said he believes that we're coming into a year of miracles. And can I encourage you that the God we serve is still a miracle worker. And God has appointed in the church, 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, is appointed in the church miracles. Can I encourage you? I think that many times I think we try and make more out of something than really what it is. Jesus put it in perspective in Mark chapter 2. He said, a miracle is as simple as forgiveness. He looked at a man on a stretcher and he said, well, which is easier here? For me to say to this man, your sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? Come on, folks. You see, I think that many times we look at things and we think that, you know, we don't have the ability when we do. We got to remember that we are children of God. We're redeemed. We belong to him. We're light in the midst of darkness. We're here to make a difference.
Come on.
And I know that not everybody that you're going to talk to about the Lord is going to be interested. I find that out on a daily basis. But I can only tell you what God has told me. God has told me to witness to somebody every day of my life.
All right.
And I do it. Because I never know when I'm going to come across the one that is in the position to receive him as their Savior. Oh, amen. And can I be honest with you? I know that sometimes it can feel a little intimidating about sharing or talking to somebody about Jesus. But let me just exhort you. You know, there was a day in my life where clapping in church was a little intimidating for me. But how many realize I got past it? There was a time in my walk with God where lifting my hands in church was a little intimidating for me. I was not comfortable with it. I didn't fully understand it. Dancing in church or shouting in church. I know I got a little expressive over my Christmas break on a Wednesday night here. Bishop almost called security on me. But I couldn't help myself. He just rang my spirit, man, like church bells on Sunday morning, and I had to say something. I know sometimes like that, things like that, they're a little intimidating, but you're going to get past it. You know why you're going to get past it? Because as soon as you lead one person to Jesus, it's over. You lead one person to Jesus, you pull somebody out of darkness and you pull them into light. You pull somebody out of the gutter and you bring them into the glory. You pull somebody out of their trouble and you bring them into solutions. And I'll guarantee you, the joy unspeakable that begins to arise in your heart is second to none. And then what will happen is you'll begin to pray for the lost. I really believe with all my heart that this is a tremendous strategy for us in the upcoming year to evangelize our community. This community is ready for Jesus.
Amen.
Now, some of them don't know it. Some of them don't think it. But you and I both know that God is good. Amen. And I want to encourage you that just because we're in an age of miracles doesn't mean that it's just going to happen. Now, you know what you and I need to do? You and I need to stay in cadence with the Father's will. We need to stay in sync with His timing. And I'll guarantee you that He has separated time for such a time as this in 2019. God wants to move through you. He not only wants to move to you, but He wants to move through you. And what will happen, I found that in my walk with God, when you get to a certain level of maturity, you know what happens? Your next breakthrough becomes a breakthrough when you're a breakthrough for somebody else. Why? Because the kingdom evolves around one principle, giving and receiving. Now, I'm not giving to receive. Oh, amen. I just understand the principle. I just want to constantly try and give Jesus away as much as I possibly can. Okay? Let me share some things with you. In fact, you know, Joshua said this, and he was a little frustrated. I can feel the frustration in his voice when I read this in Joshua 18 and 3. Joshua said to the seven tribes of Israel that had not yet moved in on their inheritance, this is what he said. He said, how much longer are you going to wait? How much longer are you going to prolong and put off the inheritance that is rightfully due to you? And sometimes I think to myself, how much longer is the church going to wait? When we have a God-given region, when we have a God-given sphere of influence and authority as believers, we live in a geographical location for a reason. God has marked Citrus County for the Church of God right here, for Crystal River Church of God. I believe it with all my heart. I heard the Holy Ghost 2 weeks ago as I began to prophesy that God was beginning to draw people from the north and from the east and from the south and from the west. People coming here. Why? Because this house will provide solutions. This house is not ashamed of Jesus. Oh, amen. I want to encourage you that this church is very different than a lot of churches I go to. I'm thankful that we can praise freely. I'm thankful that we can worship freely. I'm thankful that we can be led by the Spirit. I'm thankful that we have a pulpit that feeds us a good rhema, a good manna, a good word on a weekly basis. Now, I don't know about you, but this series on change has just transformed me. I'm telling you, folks, if you could go back and get that series on change and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, I'll guarantee you there is a call from God for you to leave some behavior behind and embrace some new nature to walk forward with in this next year. Listen, folks, it's interesting because there's a slogan in my heart this year. It's called All In. And I want to just draw your attention to 2 Kings 19 and verse 3. The scripture tells us this. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Now, in my observation over the last 25 to 30 years, what I have found is I have found generations in the church that have not found the strength to give birth to who they are.
All right. Come on now.
And there is a substance that we have to look at, a storyline that we have to consider for a little bit tonight. It's in chapter 18. Because what brought this generation to this conclusion was a messenger sent from the king of Assyria. Now, Assyria at this time was the greatest military force on the face of the earth. In fact, part of his propaganda was this messenger. He said, there's not a God out there that's been able to stand up against us. And what this messenger was sent to do was to lead Israel out of their walk with God and into a peace treaty with them. How many realize that most Christian people only they don't live on the edge of being militant? They just want to kind of live in a comfort zone. They want to live where there's no struggle, nor battle, nor anything else. We just want to kind of just, you know, have a nice walk with God. Well, sometimes it's not always like that. When you're fighting for your life, it's not always easy. You got to know something about militancy. When you're fighting for your financial breakthrough, it's not always easy. You got to know something about authority. When you're fighting for your children, come on, somebody. When you're fighting for your marriage, when you're fighting whatever you're fighting for, it's going to take a little effort. But there's a lot of Christian people that they have a kind of a me trend gospel.
All right.
And there's nothing wrong with coming to church and needing ministry and needing assistance and needing hope and needing somebody to assure you that they're there for you. But folks, something happens. Something shifts. When you begin to contribute, when you begin to aid and assist, when you begin to give, in fact, I really believe with all my heart that there was a lot of personal underdevelopment in church, all because we are not living the life that God has called us to live when it comes to evangelism. You might say, Brother Tim, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when you are being led by the Spirit to know how to effectively verbalize, you know, the life-changing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a little, articulate substance to be able to persuasively. Everybody's different. Paul talked with persuasive words. And then there were times where he was just downright blunt. Amen. I want to encourage you. You see, something's going on here. We've got generations in the church today that's paralyzed. And they're paralyzed from within, and they're paralyzed from on the exterior. This messenger was successful in bringing a generation to a conclusion that they didn't have the strength to give birth to who they were. Well, I'm here to say, au contraire, I believe that down on the inside of you lies an identity of purpose. There lies an identity of power. There lies an identity of a plan for each and every one of you to rise up and be who God has called you to be. You know what God has called you to be? Let me just describe what God has called you to be. He's called you to win the lost. He's called you to cast out devils. He's called you to lay hands on the sick. He's called you to do something. So here's this paralyzation taking place. And there's another story in the Bible that kind of trends in the same direction. It's found in 1 Samuel 17. We know what happened. We know that one man rose up every morning and every evening. And he threatened Israel in such a way that one man brought an entire nation, just like in this situation, to a complete standstill. His name was Goliath.
Right.
And you know what God told David to do? Now, I love David. I mean, he's so symbolic in Scripture, it's not even funny. The eighth born of Jesse, the number of new beginnings. God passed over all of his brothers. Whole story lesson in that scenario. I mean, there's all kinds of feeds that can go in there to really enhance who David was, an apostolic figure from the Old Testament, all kinds of things. But the bottom line was this: the man used bread and cheese to get into a fight. Now, you got to appreciate somebody like that. And when he got there, he couldn't hardly believe what he was hearing. He couldn't hardly believe what he was seeing. He couldn't hardly believe that one man had such an effect on an entire nation. And God spoke to David and he said, look, go down to the brook. And from the midst of the brook, choose 5 smooth stones. Now, I don't want to talk about the complete battle plan. Because the complete battle plan is that Goliath had 4 other brothers. I just want to talk about the problem that is staring a nation in the face. I just want to talk about a problem that is staring generations in the face. Now, why from the midst of the brook? We have to remember something. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, the apostle calls us living stones. And these stones were to be selected from the midst of the brook because that's where the current was. That's where the flow was. That's where the rub was. Somebody help me. Are you listening? This is why I've got to say, those that are watching by way of internet, you can't sit at home and have church. You can't get the rub that you need to be able to help your character grow and be shaped so that you can be a giant killer by sitting at home. Come on, amen. You need somebody taking your parking place when you pull in on Sunday. You need somebody sitting in your anointed section, your anointed seat. Come on, somebody. We need one another. We can't forsake the assembly of one another together. Isn't that right? We need everybody's personality is different. Everybody's calling is different. Every individual is here. You're very unique. We need that uniqueness because it will push buttons. Amen. And that's okay, because we have to remember that the stones that are on the outside of the brook, you know, kind of in the water, but on the edge, these are stones that don't go through the rub because they're not in the current. They're not in the flow. These stones still have rough edges on them. Now, when you put a rough-edged stone in a sling and you aim it at a target, because of its rough edges, it can fly left and it can fly right, but it won't fly straight. I'm here to tell you something tonight. We need to be all in, Josh. Amen. We need to be under the current. We need to be in the flow. We need to understand the rub. What's being rubbed off of me is the old nature, and what's being alive, bringing alive in me is the new nature. I'm here to tell you that down on the inside of you there is a call to be a giant killer. Now, I got to take it a little farther, because the Bible speaks of it in Joshua chapters 2 through 4 that Israel got to a place when they were leaving the wilderness and coming into the promised land that they were to cross over a river called Jordan. Now, we know what happened. We know that God made the water roll back to the city of Adam. We know that God made the water stand still. But the instruction was this: from the middle of the river, I want you to choose 12 smooth stones. Now, these stones were in the middle of the river for a reason. They had been polished. They were in the current. They were in the flow. But now they were to be taken out and carried wherever the nation of Israel went. Not only as a memorial to the generation that saw the miracle, but for the generations that would come and ask, why do you got those stones piled up right there? I'm here to tell you that there are generations that need to know something about giant killing. There are generations that need to know something about the flow of the Holy Ghost, the current of God. They need to be polished in such a way that regardless of what they're asked to do, no matter what giant might be at hand, they fly straight and they accomplish the task. I'm here to tell you that generations are asking in the church today, where are the giant killers? Where are the ones that are leading people to Jesus? Where are the ones that are moving in signs and wonders? Folks, we are called to be supernatural people. Is this okay? Okay, all right. All right, you say, okay, I don't want to get too heavy. I just want to encourage you tonight. Because I believe you're the devil's worst nightmare, to be honest with you. Amen. And let me just encourage you. I'm just going to warn you up front. You don't want to go anywhere with me if you are ashamed to witness. Isn't that right? I mean, what was the barber brother? What's his name? The two brothers that played for the Giants in the NFL. Rondé. We ran into Rondé on the 14th floor of a hotel down in Tampa. And I thought to myself, well, here's my chance. Oh, amen. I ran into Hulk Hogan in an alley. And I thought to myself, well, here's my chance. Tiger Woods hit me with a golf ball. The ball fell between my feet. And I said, God, I said, you're a trip. You brought the number one player in the world to my feet. Here's my chance. Amen. I dream about witnessing to people. I dream about leading people to Jesus. I dream about, you know, I had a dream not too long ago that I was stuck on an elevator with President Obama. Amen. Amen, folks. John Daly's on my hit list. Are you listening? You know why? Because God loves people. And we don't need generations in the church today that go to church with those that are just taking up a place on a Sunday morning. They need to see people that are activated. They need to see people that are doing something. They need to see people that's not ashamed of God. They need to see people that's moving in the power of the Holy Ghost because they know the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And what will happen is these generations that are paralyzed by outside forces will not be paralyzed by inside forces, but they'll be encouraged week in and week out that we are not in the world, nor are we in the world, but we're not of the world. We're light in the midst of darkness, and we're here to make a difference. Yeah, somebody give him a praise tonight. Your life needs to be a testimony. Generations need to ask questions about you. The young people that travel with me, they keep me up far too late. Because when we leave church, they've got questions. How did you know that? How does this manifestation happen? And I tell them one thing, you got to be all in. You got to be all in. You can't be a floater and be a giant killer. You can't be just a Sunday morning attender and be a giant killer. You can't just stand by the wayside and be a giant killer. You got to be all in. And I tell them, hey, look, it requires something. It requires a walk with the Holy Spirit. It requires meeting with Him in your prayer closet. It requires, you know, staying in the Word. And it's my custom at my house, my children, to tell you, before the house even turns on the first light, I'm out in the living room just walking the floor, praying in the Spirit, praising God, worshiping God. And I'll tell you, I left my bedroom this morning at 6. And the minute I went through the threshold to go into the living room, the presence of God came on me. And it's been on me ever since.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening? But I started a fast today. And I'll tell you, I've got an ambition this year. I'm going to be fasting like a wild man this year. You know why? Not to obtain some kind of great favor from God, but because I want to be sensitive.
Right.
I don't want to walk past somebody that's ready to shoot themselves.
Come on.
I had a man in the service one time. The Holy Ghost kept dogging me. And the Lord said, keep preaching. I don't want you to preach that sermon, but preach Mark chapter 2. I mean, I was blocked and centered in Hebrew and Greek. I was ready to preach. And the Lord said, preach on the woman with the issue of blood. And I said, God, I said, I'm not ready. And the Lord said, I am. And what I didn't know is there was a man that had a pistol to his head prior to coming to church. And this was his confession. If nobody can help me at church, I will shoot myself in the parking lot of that church. Holy Ghost kept dogging me, And I finally said, listen, I'm ready to preach, but the Lord wants me to preach on the woman with the issue of blood. And I said, I don't know who you are. I said, but you've suffered many things at the hands of physicians, and you're steadily growing worse. You've spent every dime that you got, and you think that you're at the end of your rope. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your answer. Jesus will change your life. The man screamed from three quarters of the way back, and he said, that's me. I've got to get saved. And he told the story. Come on, somebody. Can I encourage you? I've had ministers tell me, well, you shouldn't share like things like that with the congregation because the congregation will feel like, you know, they're underachieving. Well, let me tell you something. The same God that's down on the inside of me is down on the inside of you. Are you listening? Same measure of faith is down on the inside of you. Same gifts of the Spirit, same divine nature of God, same anointing, same glory, same blood. Amen. It's on each and every one of us. And I'm here to tell you tonight that generations need to look at you and say, you know what? My daddy's a little different, but I like my daddy's wild side. I never know what's going to happen when I go someplace with my daddy. Oh, amen. I know that somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to have a breakthrough. Somebody's going to get a prophecy, word of prophecy. You know, you can prophesy at Walmart.
Right.
But you don't have to do it in King James.
Come on.
How many realize that the world won't get that?
No, they don't.
I got a feeling that Jesus talked pretty straight, pretty blunt, pretty honest, pretty direct, with much clarity. You know, some great things are happening in our ministry, and I'm very, very thankful for what the Lord's doing. A couple of years back, I got a word of prophecy. A couple of prophets came, prophesied that my ministry would start retracing the steps of Charles Finney, and it's beginning to happen. So from Connecticut all across the state of New York, I'm preaching in regions and churches where Charles Finney has been.
All right.
Now, this happened in the 1800s. They call it the burned over area. And what I'm finding as I research the history and I look into what happened, what I found, the most alarming thing that I found is out of the hundreds of people that got saved in these great revivals, none of them were discipled. None of them. And you know what happened? Three major cults sprung up across the state of New York and Connecticut. The Mormons, a group called Spiritualism, and then the Native American Indians. Are you listening? Now, according to history, three major demons, I'm going to call them demons, I'm going to call them angels of light, appeared to these leaders and gave them the origin of their doctrine. And ever since then, these folks have had a taste of the truth, but the truth that they follow, supposedly, the truth that they follow, can't set them free. And I'm just wondering sometimes, what are we waiting on? Our inheritance is out there. I mean, what are we waiting on, folks? Can I encourage you? It's not as difficult as it might seem. All you have to do is take the first step. And there are reasons why principalities have strength in regions. Would you like to know the greatest reason why they do? Because the church is not evangelizing the lost. Revelation 2 and 24 speaks of the depths that are in Satan, okay? We need to understand that when you lead somebody to Jesus, you lead them to love. That's the reason why salvation is so impactful. You ever seen somebody really get saved? They are an emotional mess. Amen. And that's a good thing. Wouldn't you agree? When you lead somebody to love, what happens is from there you begin to lead them out of their trouble. You pull off of them mindsets that have really shaped their hearts. And you begin to give them an opportunity to change their hearts. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Folks, I want you to know that principalities, and we don't have to be too spiritual about this, but you've got to identify things if you're going to be successful. You know, there's different ranks, different depths in Satan. There's thrones and dominions. And then there are top dogs that create mindsets to develop culture and control through culture in society. They're called principalities. And folks, I want you to know that this is a warfare that you and I as the church are not really called to be involved with until the principality starts to confront the church. Now, when it confronts the church, now it's out of its jurisdiction. And you and I have authority as believers to begin to put the enemy where we need to put the enemy, under our feet. There's a lot of people that don't want to move too far ahead in God, don't want to be too aggressive or too involved or too passionate because of the backlash. Well, I'm here to tell you, we need to stand up to that. Because what will happen is you'll recognize that you have been given, you have been blessed, you've been endowed with authority and power, and you'll begin to realize that you can take authority over the enemy in your own home. You don't have to call Bishop. You don't have to call Pastor Steve. You don't have to call the staff of the church. Josh, would you come over and sing us a praise song? I don't know how to deal with the spirit of heaviness. You can rise up within your own means and begin to rule your own house with the authority and the presence and the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, when this happens, it gets a little scary. I'll guarantee you what will happen is this. The enemy will not want to fool with you. Will not want to fool you. See, this is nothing more than a smokescreen of deception. Let me just try and tell the believer that they don't have the potential to share Jesus. They don't know enough. They don't have the right character. They don't have the right victory in their lives. Let me just encourage you. Just share what you know.
Right.
Has Jesus changed anybody in this room tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Just share what you know. Has Jesus opened doors for you, anybody in this place? Has Jesus healed your body? Has Jesus given you a word of assurance and hope? Has Jesus ministered life and deliverance to your own life? Has Jesus recovered your children? Has Jesus done something great in you? Just share what you know.
Amen.
But principalities, they shape mindsets. And when we begin to win the lost, what happens is we begin to pull them out of darkness. We begin to pull them out of the influence of the enemy that they've been under. You know, there's a lot of people that think that they have to live with certain things. There's a lot of people think that they've got to live with familiarities, ancestral curses, and bloodlines and things like this. I'm here to tell you that if the church was doing what the church is called to do, we would be delivering our county. We would be bringing, I mean, listen, folks, if we could just do one thing tonight, if we could just adopt one principle tonight, win one and disciple one. If that's all we can do, you know what? This church will instantly double. And then I want you to understand that the concept will compound.
Right.
But somebody's got to set the ball in motion.
Yeah.
Can I be honest with you? This man will know. For years I've known that this house is a set house. Now please, there's some good churches around here. But when a set house is a set house, it's a different arena. You need to understand that in this house lies the authority, lies the presence, lies the anointing, lies the glory to minister to anybody that walks through those doors. But there's a lot of churches that don't understand the fullness of what God has to offer. They're a little scared of it. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to unsettle anybody. We don't want to push anybody. We don't want to exhort anybody. We're doing our good, doing our best just to keep them coming on Sunday so that we can pay the mortgage.
Come on.
Right? When we're failing. Listen, folks, something's wrong when you've got more older people in church than you do younger. Something's wrong. Listen, folks, young people, they're looking for something. They're looking for excitement. But you know, they've got to understand that they got to dance to the same tune. They got to understand that the same call that is on us to be able to manifest the Lord has got to begin to be ingrained in them. They've got to learn how to fast and pray. They've got to learn how to study the Word. They've got to learn how to govern their own money. They've got to learn how to walk in wisdom. They've got to learn how to move in the gifts. They've got to learn how to do these things. But thank God that in this house, it can be displayed. In fact, to be honest with you, this ministry offers so many resources for your personal development, it is absolutely staggering. I exhort you to take advantage of what God has right in front of you to take advantage of. Somebody give him a praise. Can I encourage you? Everybody needs a little help, wouldn't you agree? The Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians 13 and 4. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength has been made perfect in your weakness. Let me encourage you, people that are coming out of addicted lifestyles. I'm thankful for the people that discipled me. They taught me the value of my prayer closet. They taught me how to know the Holy Ghost before I even begin to embark on studying the Word. So that when you got around some false teaching, you recognized, hey, look, something's not right here. Don't quite know what it is, but I know something ain't right here. You know what I'm saying? And they discipled me. They were patient with me. They walked with me. They prayed with me. They exhorted me. They encouraged me. And I'm thankful for my first spiritual father and mother in the Lord. Because where my weaknesses were, they began to show me that my strengths actually were there. I just didn't know how to get to them. And if you think that you're going to come out of an addicted lifestyle, no matter where that addiction is, whether it be drugs or alcohol or pornography or a lying spirit, I'll never forget it. The Lord, I'm preaching it. I don't know, Jody, I don't know if you were there that night, but I'm preaching a meeting, and there's a guy from England on the second row, and he's married to this woman, and the Lord said, he's had 10 affairs on that woman. And he said, I want you to talk to him about it. You know, I always get the easy stuff. You know, maybe I'm just too dense. I don't know. But, you know, and the Lord, I knew a little bit about him. I knew a little reputation about him. And I said, God, he's got a lying spirit. He'll lie. And the Lord said, not tonight he won't. And bada bing, it was on. Can I encourage you? There is a coming presence coming to this house that people will not be able to run from their darkness concerning. They won't be able to lie. They won't be able to deny it. They'll be instant identified. Oh, shalahasite. Y'all feel that? Rahasite. It would behoove you to lift your hands right now and just pray in the Spirit a little bit. Father, we thank you for this wind of revival. We thank you, Father God, for what is waiting on us and what, Lord God, what you're asking us to do to set this ball in motion. There are people that desperately need to be here. Lord, that they need to come out of their lying lifestyle. They need to come out of their addictions. They need to come out of their paralyzations. They need to come out. They need to realize that church is not what they've been told church is. That this house is a house of fun and freedom and joy unspeakable and full of glory. That they can come here and hear a gospel, a non-condemning gospel, a convicting gospel, but a non-condemning gospel, and find the hope of the joy of the Lord. Find the hope that is a scope that looks past our human limitations and shows us the ability of God that he has for each and every one of us. This is what's coming. I prophesied to Bishop not too long ago that this revival that's getting ready to set down on this ministry, it's not scheduled because it's sovereign. Are you listening? And I'm telling you, when sovereignty hits a house, it'll blow your mind. You'll want to go to every church service possible. It won't be a drudgery to get there. You'll be there early. You'll stay late. Amen. And I'm thankful for what God is wanting to do in the earth this year. And I'm thankful that we are the people, at least in this county, that God wants to move through this year. But when a New Testament believer stops entering into fresh instruction and stops obeying the unctions of the Lord, they probably have ran into where a principality still has an effect on them. Oh, amen. But my encouragement to you tonight is this, that you don't have to stop growing. The Pauline revelation was meant to be built on. You don't have to stop growing. I wrote a book called The Third Day back in 2006. And I suggested to the body of Christ that the kingdom was progressive. Yes, we've enjoyed where we've been. Yes, we're enjoying where we're at. But my goodness, our best days are still to come. Ecclesiastes 7 and 10. Our best days are in front of us. Are you listening? And the body of Christ rose up and began to persecute me. Isaiah chapter 9 says that we belong to a kingdom that has no end. Amen. So I'm excited about where we've been. But I'm excited about how God wants to use us in this new year. Amen. But let me encourage you. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 talks about how the God of this world will blind the minds of men. But blindness comes in proportion to a person's position or call. The enemy doesn't have to blind everybody. But he'll blind influential people. He'll blind bold people. He'll blind people to understand their calling. Are you listening? And can I be, you might say, well, Brother Tim, I don't understand my calling. I don't know who I really am and what I'm supposed to do. Well, let me help you. God has given to every believer two ministries. The ministry of helps. All the staff should have shouted. You know what that means? Everybody is called to clean the bathroom. Everybody is called to open doors. Everybody is called to be an usher. Everybody is called to work in children's church. Come on, somebody. Everybody is called to run the vacuum. Everybody is called to dust. Everybody is called to show up and help put out Christmas, you know, ornaments and put them away. Everybody, when the church is doing something, the whole body is called to help. Not just certain members. And through these callings, we develop the ministry of reconciliation. Has been given to every believer. And it's through these callings, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, it's through these callings that you begin to develop. I remember when I first got out of Bible college, I ran into a man called T.L. Osborne. And I said, Apostle, I said, I'm getting these prophecies. They're prophesying this and they're prophesying that. And he just stopped me and he started laughing at me. And he said, Tim, he said, just do this. Win souls.
Right.
And everything will be okay.
Amen.
If you've got trouble in your life tonight, you know what you need to do? You need to go out and create trouble for the enemy.
Come on. Yeah.
You can ask my family. When the devil shows up against us, you know what I do? I say, okay, that's all right. That's okay. Because you know what? I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight, and tomorrow it's on. I'm going to go get five or six people saved. Are you listening? Every person. I mean, I try and witness to everybody. You know, and I don't try and witness people, you know, get back them into a corner or anything. I try and follow the unction, the leading to witness.
Amen.
And there was a guy in the gym the other day from San Diego. And he told me, he said, because I was watching him, and I said, yeah, I've been interested in your workout program. And he said, yeah, he says, I do it to relieve, you know, anger. He said, I've got a violent temper. And I said, how come? He said, I don't know. I said, well, were you violated as a child? Well, I don't know. I mean, Bishop, isn't he? He's just this guy, something else. I guess I kind of did, didn't I? But, you know, it's just not my personality to kind of, you know, coast in. Yeah, I guess I blew up on him. I don't know. But I had his attention. You know, I said, you come from a single parent home. I begin to, you know, Pastor Steve kind of going through the list, you know, about why he could have emotional, you know, distress and pain and all this. And he said, I just don't know. I just don't know. I said, you need to come to church with me. Amen. Sometimes the answer is not always in the moment. It could be something that you're setting the stage for.
Come on.
You need to come to church with me. I want to encourage you. We live in a time where we're going to be on our way to the house of God, and 10 people are going to want to grab your shirt cuff and say, where are you going? And you'll let them know, I'm going to Crystal River Church of God. I'm going to church today. And you know what they'll say? They'll say, can I go with you? Can I come? So some of you might have to buy bigger vehicles. I don't know. But let me encourage you. If the devil can't stop you winning souls and discipling people, you know what he'll do? And I don't mean to scare anybody, but this is how tactful he is. This is the way he works. He'll attack your finances. And there's a lot of pulpits that will not really proclaim the truth because they are afraid of people holding their dollar. They're interested in nose and nickels. I'm interested in presence and power. Churches that are interested in noses and nickels, you know what they want? They want programs. I don't want programs. I want the person of Jesus. He's the biggest program and the best program we could ever get a hold of. Are you listening? And the devil will attack your health. And the devil will attack unity. And the devil will bring any kind of calamity that he possibly can to try and get you to get off your game. But here's what I've learned. If you stand up to the opposition, if you let them know, hey, look, there's more at stake here than my well-being. I've got generations that are watching me. And I've got to let them know that I am a polished stone. I'm a smooth stone. I've been in the flow. I've been in the brook. I'm all in, man. I don't care what folk think about me. They can go and call me a holy roller. They can go ahead and make fun. You know, I've heard so much persecution. It's become a badge of honor. It's a compliment. I just look at them and I say, I know the God you serve. And thank God I don't serve him anymore. Amen. I let folk know they want to call me this and they want to call me that. I don't really care because I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to pace myself and I'm going to get them saved. Amen. Generations are watching. They want to know how to become supernatural. And what will happen is if you will survive the onslaught, the attack, whatever that is, onslaught. What will happen is this place will turn into a place where God showcases himself. Because it won't be about when's the service going to get over. It won't be about they didn't sing my favorite song. It won't be about whether or not pastor's preaching the message that I want him to preach and what I want to hear. You know what it'll be? It'll be about people that are hungry for the presence of God, hungry for the person of Jesus, hungry to go out into life and lead desperate, stranded, broken, bereaved, and battered people back to a healing Jesus, a saving Jesus. That's what it'll be about. This place will become a place of presence. It'll be a place of power. It'll be a place of display.
Hallelujah.
You might say, how is that? It's because we've done it. I know what it's like to have multiple people come down in my congregations with cancer. And the Lord asked me, well, what are you going to do? Multiple people lose their jobs, have miscarriages. Well, what are you going to do? Gave a word to a church not too long ago that there was a fresh wind blowing in their ministry, but the old nature of the people was about ready to surface. And you know what that pastor did? The pastor only gave the people the word. Oh, a prophet said that a fresh wind was blowing here, and he didn't give the rest of the word to them. He didn't give the congregation an opportunity to get into fasting and prayer and say, you know what? We're not going to be reclaimed by the past.
Come on.
We're moving forward.
Amen, amen.
We're not going to go backwards. And you know what will happen when you start evangelizing? God will give you the strength and the ability to keep the ground that you take.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You won't lose it. It's time for the church to quit being a slinky in one week, out the other. Up one week, down the next. All, listen, folks, it's time for somebody to start working havoc on darkness.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about going out and provoking a fight, but I'm talking about when a fight comes to you.
Yeah.
Now, that's different.
Amen.
That's different. Are you listening?
Amen.
So I encourage you tonight. I've got a few minutes left. I'm almost through this introduction. Not too long ago, I had the Lord say something to me because we were in a high atmosphere, and the Lord, I said, God, I said, what do you want me to do in the service? And the Lord quickly spoke to me, and he said, it's not about what you want me to do. It's about what you want me to do. I said, all right. If it's about what I want you to do, God, and not about what you want me to do, then here's what I want. I want every lost person in the building saved. Oh, somebody help me. I'm talking about God asking us what we want him to do. Are you listening? I want every sick person healed tonight. I want every person that needs deliverance set free tonight. I want every person that needs a miracle to find a miracle tonight. That's what I want you to do, God. And I'm telling you, friends, what will happen is when you provide an atmosphere of constant fresh ministry, week in and week out, this is the kind of atmosphere that we get involved with. You can stand up to it. You can break the back of any spiritual attack. Your children will stop miscarrying. Cancer can be stopped dead in its tracks. Financial breakthrough can come to your life. You can reverse. In fact, Jesus has already reversed the curse. All it takes is somebody to stand up who believes. Right. I like what Bishop said not too long ago. He said, you can't get nobody to do anything unless they believe. I believe that Jesus is a Savior. I believe that Jesus is a healer. I believe that Jesus is a miracle worker. I believe that Jesus is a breakthrough. I believe this. Anybody ever heard of a woman by the name of Leah Remini? Remini. She was involved with Scientology, and now she's involved with exposing Scientology. But now she's also gone after the Jehovah's Witnesses. What is it? Crazy woman in the middle of the congregation. She's gone after the Jehovah's Witnesses. She's gone after the Mormons. Now, this is what's crazy about Scientology. Scientology has been embraced by the nation of Islam here in America. When I think about these cults, and I think about these cult leaders, and I think about their passion to share what they believe to be the truth, and then I think about the church. I think about who we are. You know, I believe that we have the truth. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I don't believe I am. Are you listening? You know why I don't believe who I am? Because I wasn't churched. And when Jesus introduced himself to me, he introduced himself to me. Hello? I mean, I was they were going to lock me up, throw away the key. And my brother said, why don't you come to church with me? And I thought to myself, well, I mean, I sawed off shotguns in the back of my car, grenades. I was a wreck. I was a total wreck. And he said, just come to church. And he said, I believe that Jesus can change your life. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know who Jesus is. What do you mean change my life? I don't see any way out of this. And I was sitting on the back row. This is why it's never safe in a church like this. I sit on the back row and never forget it. All of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. And the Lord walked right up to me and shook my hand and said, I'm Elohim. Have no idea how I got to the altar. Had no idea what was coming out of my mouth. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and the whole shebang right in the moment. And my life did a complete 180. I realized that I had found the truth. I realized that for the first time in my life, I had embraced love and love had embraced me. I realized that I had come out of something and I had come into something, and it was completely foreign to me. I realized that peace was now overwhelming, and my life was, I felt alive for the first time. I felt excited, and I wanted to share, but I just didn't know what to share. But I wanted to say, something happened to me. I don't fully understand, but something happened to me. And you know, it's like that almost every day with me. When I get into the presence of God, I am so thankful for the newness of who he is, the freshness of who he is, the fullness of who he is. I'm here to tell you that every trouble, and let me just say something to you quickly. Folks, one thing we have to realize, oh God, help me tonight. Generations are desperate for your advancement. They need to see it. I believe the church as a whole needs to see it. Oh, Father God. There's so much here. This is really, I told the sound booth, I said, look, I said, this is a three-setting message, but I'm going to get out what I can. But I will tell you that we are anointed to do what God has called us to do. Amen. That you won't go within your own means. You will not go by yourself. He's with you. And he'll use you for his glory. All you have to do is say, you know what? Use me, God. I want to be all in this year. I mean, I'm not gonna make a mockery of you on the job. I'm not hired to witness. I'm not hired to pray. But I'm hired to be there. Come on. And your presence in my life and on my life will all of a sudden start making a way for me to share you. Amen. Crack addicts will show up on your doorstep at 3 a.m, won't they, honey? They'll come out of the woodworks. They'll come because they know that you're carrying something that they're desperate for. So I pray that in 2019, the year of redemption and the year of faith, that we would merge these two and that we would recognize that if we'll just all become all in, if we'll just get in the flow, what will happen is we'll come out polished by God and we'll start knocking down the giants that have controlled this region long enough. Amen. Amen. Now you're here tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here tonight. And Jesus is not really the Lord of your life. Now, I know on a Wednesday night, but I don't want to take a chance. But if you're here tonight, I want to tell you that Jesus is your answer. He's what you're looking for. But you're here tonight, and you're not really serving God the way you really know to serve the Lord. And you're either in a backslidden state, or you need to be saved for the first time. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me. I want to get right. I see your hand. I see your hand. I want to get right with God. Here at this church, there is a custom that prays with you right where you're at. And for the two people that are ready to get born again for the first time, can we as a congregation just hook up with them, stand with them, and begin to put the first step forward in discipling them by praying with them? Let's all pray this together as they pray it. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I ask you by faith to forgive me of my sins. And I receive that forgiveness. Help me to do one thing. Learn to love you the way you love me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me tonight. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.